Welcome to Between a Talk and a Hard Place, a podcast for women bringing down-to-earth conversations about the realities of our real-life experiences. I'm your host, Lisette McKenzie, author, life and mindset transformation coach, and self-concept connoisseur. And together with my girls, Alicia and Natira, we'll be discussing everything from situations to situationships and the challenges women face every day as we navigate this thing called life.
All right, so I wanted to talk about that annoying label that Black women are given as the angry Black woman. It's something that I hear it a lot. I hear it not only towards myself, but towards other people. I have even used that term without even thinking about how misconstrued it is and how ultimately how wrong it is to label someone angry for the way they express themselves. So I think that's something that we need to be a little bit more open about and being realistic about when you're looking at Black women and the plight that they're going through and the way they express themselves and how you compare them to the way other people express themselves. Have you ladies ever been called that angry Black woman? Alicia, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't see you as ever being called an angry Black woman. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, you're right. No one's called me an angry Black woman. I think more often I've been called stuck up, or, you know, people think that I appear to that I seem better than others. But I think that's another harmful stereotype. But I don't think that has to do with my race. That has to do more with the fact that I'm an introvert who's generally reserved around people either I don't know well or people I'm not as comfortable with. But I have seen people have been given the angry Black woman stereotype, and I think I've self-monitored to a point where I don't come across as an angry Black woman. But obviously there's been times in my life where I have been angry, but I feel like for the most part it's been dignified, righteous anger, not dignified. Mm-hmm. Righteous anger in terms of whatever the situation was. But I do agree that it is harmful in general, because not just in a larger context in spaces such as work, but just within my family, I feel like sometimes it's hard to be as expressive as I would like without someone seeing me as angry. And I'll give an example. So every year my mom hosts like a family get together with her side of the family, and it's supposed to be a potluck. So everyone's supposed to bring at least one dish. My mom, since she hosts it, she usually provides the most dishes. That's well and good, but this is something we've been doing for like 10, 15 years at this point. And our family has grown. Now, between my mom and myself, it's just the two of us now. But like the other branches of the family, they've like doubled in size, but they're still bringing the same two dishes. And every year, without fail, I tell my mom, like, Mom, why can't we be more expressive in saying, hey, I understand if you can't bring a whole bunch of food, but can you bring paper plates or drinks or just more to, I feel like it's only fair to ask people to bring a bit more proportionate to their side of the family instead of automatically assuming that just because my mom is hosting that she wants to provide the bulk of everything as well as clean up and all of that. And she's like, no, we can't do that. And I'm just like, why? Why is it so hard to be honest about something like that? And I feel like in a way she's trying to steer away from being seen as angry within our own family, which to me is ridiculous. I'm like, if you can't be honest with your own family, who can you be?
Right. Mm. Right.
So personally, I feel like it's a stereotype that's hit so deep that it's coming into the very areas of our life where we should feel most to be ourselves. And that's where I really get irritated, frankly. I'm like, it shouldn't be that hard to tell someone, like, look, there's 20 people on your side of family. Can you at least bring 2-3 dishes? Is that so hard to do without being considered angry or whatever misconception people have?
So what about you, Natira?
So I have not been called the angry Black woman that I know of.
Now, I know I'm not the only one.
Wait, let me finish. Let me finish what I'm about to say. I'm about to
get upset.
And it's not because, because it takes me a lot to get angry, right? So you have to really, like, really go overboard. Me and myself, I let stuff slide. You know, right. My husband will tell you, if you made my wife mad, that's all the way on you, because my wife don't get mad. She don't even get mad at me. You know, 'cause I'm just an easier go lucky person. But I will say this about the angry Black woman stereotype. So I was on a call this week, and there was a young lady who was from New York, obviously, by her accent, mm-hmm. who, you know, if she, as she began to talk, the nature of how she talked was already a little aggressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, this is just the way that I talk. It's not that I'm angry. It's not that I'm bitter or I have anything. This is just my natural way of self.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I listened to what she was saying, I said to myself, I can see how people would label her an angry Black woman because of the tone in which she spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that that is a correct assessment or that that is even right.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, in most situations, it's to give people grace. Because I don't know if you're angry or not. My daughter, for instance, she walks around with what she called RBS, resting. Yeah, she got that all the way. I'm like, what's wrong? You okay? She's like, nothing. This is just me. Like, I'm good, Mom. Yeah. But her face is telling me that there's something up. You know, there's something wrong. And so on one hand, you know, I don't think it's appropriate to label anybody anything. This is just not that day and age. If you think that there's a problem, just ask, hey, is there a problem? Mm-hmm. You know, is there something I need to know about? Don't put no label on me because you have your preconceived ideas of what's going on. You don't know what's going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there have been times where I was actually angry. So forget the angry Black woman. I am angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm ticked off. Mm-hmm. Yes. But is that my nature all the way? No. But I think the problem is we've spent too much time trying to make others feel comfortable in our space than we do feeling comfortable in our own space.
Yes.
Right.
That, in essence, is the problem.
Yes.
Because the thing is, if you come across that way, like my daughter with her face, you know, she don't care. Look, it's nothing wrong with me, you know. And the fact that you think that something wrong, that's, listen, you got to deal with that, because right now this is my face. Yeah, this is my face, and I'm not fixing the smile. You know how people say smile. I don't feel like smiling right now. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of those things to me I have learned. That's the other person's issue.
Yes. You know,
so I don't tell her to smile. I don't tell her to fix her face. I don't do any of that. I just want to make sure that she's okay. So if she tells me, Mom, I'm fine. This is just it. I'm cool with that's the end of it. I let it go after that. Now, most people don't let it go. Oh, well, you need to smile.
No. That's when you get angry.
I was going to say, when people try to tell me how to feel in a certain situation, I will start to get very irritated. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever become angry, but I think I can see myself getting angry because it's like, who are you to tell me how to feel and when to feel it? If I'm walking around like Natira's daughter with the RV up, that's my business. As long as I don't take it out on you, why is it so imperative to you to tell me how I should be expressing myself?
Right. Well, I'm going to tell y'all right now, I think I get considered angry black woman at least 3 times a day. And it's mostly because of, like you said, Natira, the young lady that was from New York, that's her New York accent. It annoys me because when you see somebody, people are like, oh, you need to smile. Oh, why are you so angry? Oh, can you tone it down? But when you see people who were raised in Boston, you know, they have that Boston draw, New Jersey. They have this, you can tell where they're from. You don't ask them to change their accent. So why is it that when you hear and specifically a black woman, because for some reason we have such strong voices, when you hear a black woman talk the accent of where she grew up, why is it always such a problem? And I don't smile a lot. I don't feel like I have to smile a lot. I stopped doing that when I started feeling stupid because I realized that people would be like, oh, you need to smile. And I, you know, silly me, I would sit there and start smiling. And I'm like, what the hell am I smiling? Why am I smiling? I'm just sitting here, you know, facing for what? Why do I have to smile to make you feel comfortable? Why do I have to be uncomfortable to make you comfortable? Right. And I get angry when people keep approaching me on that. Why can't you accept? I'm not doing anything to hurt you. I'm not saying anything. I don't think I'm saying anything to offend you. But if you're taking me being expressive, if you're taking it the wrong way, that's not my problem. I can't correct that for you. I shouldn't have to make myself uncomfortable to make you comfortable in your own skin.
And you know what? Don't get it twisted. Black women have a lot to be angry about.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's be for real.
Absolutely.
If you really want to know, I have every right in my being to be angry right now and upset. The fact that I'm not doing that should give me some grace.
Yeah.
Because right now I am feeling some type of way. You know, every day you turn on the news, you hear it's another added layer of stress that I have to carry around on my back.
Right.
And the fact that I'm not taking it out on you and I'm sitting here and I'm engaged should be enough. Don't come at me about what my face ain't right now, because if you really wanted to know, you could have it. You can get it all.
Girl.
I don't want to, because then again we back to the stereotype.
Yeah.
And it is just that, a stereotype.
And it starts early. It starts when our little girls are little. It starts in preschool. It starts before preschool, because people see little girls. Now, any child, be it a black child, a white child, Hispanic child, they're going to throw a tantrum.
Yes.
But if a black child throws the same tantrum that another child throws, that black child is automatically like, oh, she has a bad attitude. Oh, she doesn't know how to behave. Oh, she this. Why? Why is it that it's so easy and so normal for the color of our skin to determine that we automatically have a bad attitude? Why we can't just be like everybody else?
Because in this nation, this American nation, we have taught to obey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so if you buck the system in any way, shape, or form, you're an agitator. You're angry. You're this, you're that. Because if you think about the history of this country, think about just being black if we were still in those times. Whatever whoever said, you had to do. So if they said, smile, fix your face, whatever it was that you had to do, You had to do it. And so with our little girls, that training started young. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't start when they was 13. Now you got to obey. No, you was obey. You have to obey from birth. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, there was consequences. And yeah. So those behaviors have come down all the way through. It's kind of like my mother. I remember I had a friend, one of my sister's friends. She used to beat her daughter. It was unmerciful how much she beat this girl. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, sit down if she didn't sit immediately down, or, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
My mother had to pull it to the side and say, yo, listen, you doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you learn that behavior? Who taught us how to beat our children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Who taught us that? Because they don't do it to theirs.
Nope, not at all.
They'll call the cops on you. You better not. That's not acceptable.
And I used to, you know, I used to come down hard on my oldest daughter because she was more like the little tomboy. And I used to come down harder on her around when other people's kids were around. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, okay, you shouldn't behave that way. It's not appropriate for you to behave that way. But when I got a little older, when I stopped caring about what other people thought, I thought about how she was behaving. I'm like, there was nothing that she was doing that was wrong. She was being a kid. She was enjoying herself. And as long as she wasn't tearing up nobody's property, being disrespectful, you know, she was being a kid.
Right.
So yeah. When I thought about that, that kind of bothered me, because I'm like, wow, I really have that mentality that my child has to be, she has to always present herself in a certain way to be accepted, instead of just allowing her to be herself and be accepted. Now, if they don't accept you, that just means that's not your people.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know if that's a universal thing or just an us thing, but you're right. Because even when you said that, I think about, you know, my mom. Mm. So here's one thing that has carried with me. So when I was a kid, we couldn't go with my mother unless we were properly dressed mm-hmm. and presented. If you mm-hmm. was dirty in any way, shape, or form, you was not going with her.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was since I can remember. So for me, when I step out this house, honey, I am a 10, okay? Even if I'm going to the... My hair is done. I got clothes. I look, you ain't going to catch me in no sweatpants, because that's the way that I was raised.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so when I come home, I'm very relaxed. My husband's like, well, why you don't get dressed up for me? I'm like, because we home. Where we going? We going out? Because that's just the way that I was raised. And so mm-hmm. with my daughter, I thought to change the narrative,
mm-hmm.
to let her be who she wants to be in the world. Mm-hmm. So I don't look at her and be like, you can't come with me because you don't look. Whatever she got on, if it's mismatch, out of place, listen, that's on you. You presenting yourself.
I didn't get to.
Because I look good. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm on my game.
I didn't get to that point yet. My daughter likes to go out. I'm like, okay, come on, let's go to the store. And she'll come out and she'll have her little stupid bonnet on. First of all, if I see her walk out the house with a bonnet, I'm automatically upset, because I'm like, please go fix your hair. Then she'll have on mismatch socks with her slides. And
yes, girl, it's a style.
Now, my daughter likes to look good, but she assumes if I'm going somewhere, I'm just going to go somewhere where there's a drive-through or whatever, and she don't have to get out the car. So now we go in some place where she has to get out the car. She's like, Ma, why you didn't tell me? No, why you didn't dress presentable like you was going to see people when you went out the house? So now come on here with your socks and your little holy pants. We got to go to the store.
I do think it is something that's long been ingrained, like the idea is in Black families of being presentable, because I don't care any what time of day it was, if I had to go out of the house when I was like, clothes ironed, your hair, neat, it's all about being presentable, and I think it is about that, fitting into the larger society instead of just being able to express yourself no matter how you look. And I don't know, I think in some ways it is a good thing, like, because I always had the instinct, like, I knew if I was going for a job interview, I knew what I needed to wear. I didn't have to call my mom and be like, well, what do I wear? I knew what to do. But in some cases, it does present this idea where you can't be yourself. Because, like, I'll give an example. When I go out for, like, a meetup with my friends in my book club, I at least have on jeans and a nice top. Meanwhile, another one of my friends might just be in sweats. I'm like, how is she comfortable just being in sweats? But again, I think it's all into culture and socialization. And I don't know enough about other cultures to affirmatively say that all other cultures don't tell their kids to be presentable. But I do feel like it's a big thing in Black American communities because we just want to feel like we fit in.
Yep. And it's we make ourselves that much more uncomfortable trying to be what we're not. Now, that doesn't mean that when you engage with someone that you need to be disrespectful. That doesn't mean you need to be cussing them out.
Right.
That doesn't mean you need to be all in their face. It's just the way you engage.
Right.
When you're just being yourself, when people get offended because you're being yourself and you're expressing yourself, that is not, we take that to heart. We take it as being our fault. And it's not our fault. That's a problem that they need to get over. They need to fix that for themselves.
But I think as we continue to have these conversations, and especially with our children, they will change that narrative because it's so ingrained in us. It's hard to let those things go. For instance, when you see a bunch of loud teenagers, you're like, why are they being so loud? You know, because that's just a natural thing that's within you that has been your experience. Or you meet a young lady and she's cussing up a storm every other word. You'd be like, dang, why she got a potty mouth like that? Like, you know, we just are self-critical of ourselves sometimes. That doesn't even translate to others being critical of us. And until we internally fix those things and stop judging one another, it's hard to say to the other person, well, you don't do that. Well, you doing it too, and to a greater degree, because you, these are your people, and you putting labels and stuff on them if they don't look a certain way or act a certain way according to your. We need to not do that. So for me, I love when people show up as their authentic self. I'm not on camera now because I don't want y'all to see me. I ain't presentable.
At my job, I had, we were having a meeting. And you know how sometimes you get an answer from one person, and for that exact same question, you get three different answers from three different people? So it had gotten to the point where I just really needed clarification. So I'm running it down, you know, we're in the meeting and I'm running it down. And after the meeting was over, I got the answer that I needed. But after the meeting was over, I got an email. And in the email, I was told that the way that I was speaking made it seem like I was very angry, and I was asked to. I'm still amazed that she fixed her fingers to type this. She was like, "Maybe next time, can you try using softer words?" So I'm the queen of writing email. When I write an email, especially if it's an angry email, it's a corporate. It's, you know, it's professional. But it's going to be long, and it's going to have questions, and I'm going to follow up with you. So my response to her was, what are softer words? what softer words would you like to hear? So she replied back, and I forget what the words were that she used. And I said, well, I wasn't feeling like that at that time. I wasn't feeling like any of these words at that time. So I don't understand. I was like, did you understand what I was saying? And she said, I understood what you were saying. I said, was I yelling? She was like, you weren't yelling. So the problem is not with what I was saying. The problem is with the way you were perceiving it. So no, I cannot use any of these words because I was courteous and I was professional. But I, at the same point, wanted to let you know that you weren't providing me as a manager. You weren't providing me with the information that I needed to do my job.
She didn't like your tone, and pretty much was saying, get in your place.
It was
that's what that was.
Exactly. It was all about me correcting her for the things that she did wrong. I was supposed to just sit there and nod my head, and I can't do that. I can't ever do that. And as long as I'm not being disrespectful to you, you're not going to silence me. You're not going to, I can't change my words to make you happy. I need to tell you what I need to tell you. As long as it's professional, that's what you're going to get. I'm not going to, I mean, she gave me a list of what she was like, try saying this. I was like, no, I wasn't feeling any of those words. I can't use words that I'm not feeling.
That is unbelievable that we have
for that suggestion. She did. When I tell you.
Best words.
She gave me a list of words. I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Like, this is so remedial. Why would I use these remedial words? Did you not understand what I was saying? Are you needing clarification? Because I could school you on some things, but I'm not going to use these.
Now you being that angry black woman.
Yeah, like I could school you on it if you're asking me for help, but I'm not going to resort to these remedial words to make you feel comfortable in your own skin.
I don't get it either. And I also feel like in a lot of ways, the workplace has become too much of like babysitter's club instead of actual environment with working adults. The last job I had, I was a team leader, and I was getting to a point near the end where I was ready to go. But I felt like for the most part, I was still professional and direct. But apparently one of the staff didn't feel that way, and she told my manager. Now, for context, the staff member who said this was black, and my manager is black.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a different cultures or anything
right.
like that. Mm-hmm. She just thought I was being too abrasive, and all I was trying to do in the situation was actually get her help with her work, because mm-hmm. she was falling behind. Not to anything of her fault, but I just wanted to get, you know, help with her, get her help with her work, and just try to get things moving. But she took it from the perspective of, I was trying to berate her, I was trying to make her feel like she wasn't being productive.
Mm-hmm.
And when the manager told me this, I was just incredulous. Like, no, that was not my intention at all. My intention was to get her help with the work so we could get it done, because we're deadline focused. We can't just sit here and let her try to do everything and it not get done.
Right.
I apologize if that's how she took it, but no, I wasn't trying to come down. So what ended up happening was my manager told the other team leader who actually works with this employee more directly to, you know, say that I didn't mean it or whatever, and from then on, it was okay, but I just felt like, how much do I have to police myself? Mm-hmm. Not only in the workplace, but with people of the same background, to the mm-hmm. extent where me being direct as a leader is offending someone instead of encouraging them to say, hey, she actually wants to help me.
Right.
So it's just like, you feel like you can't win, and it's sad because, again, I feel like people miss the larger context of what you need to. Just like what's that? You were just trying to make your point and get your question answered. I was just trying to make my point and get work done.
Right.
So what I work to do last that trip.
But I think in the context of that example, and and yours as well, is that any person, any woman really, who is deemed aggressive in their tone does get labeled that B, that who does she think she is type of attitude. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's universal for any woman who's direct, who is aggressive, who has deadlines, who has expectations of those deadlines. There's always this label of you trying to be something that you're not, when I'm really just trying to follow up the objective of the team and the deliverables. This has nothing to do with my demeanor. These are need to get done. These are the dates that they are due. What can I do to assist you to make sure that we're on track? And there's really nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But as a woman, we're taught to be dainty and soft, mm-hmm. and all of these, you know, why do we get doll babies and boys can bust up trucks and crash buildings, and, you know, but we're taught to sit down and make tea and have a tea party and wear pretty dresses and put on makeup. And there's a certain demeanor when you show up that you have to have, or people will not, if you're too aggressive, you're acting like a man and you're too, you know, you're too this or you're too that, you're too, you, women get a lot of flack for all of that. And then put your color of your skin on top of that, it makes it just doubly hard to be in that space authentically, so, or have an other expectation of should be.
So what I've noticed, I've never in the workplace, I've never seen a non-Black woman be called angry. They get called a bitch often.
Yes.
But you will never see a non-Black woman labeled as an angry white woman or an angry Hispanic. It's always an angry Black woman, which then equates to them being ghetto and not educated. And a white woman in a higher position can be just as aggressive in her talk. She can talk down to you all she wants. That just gets her labeled as a bitch, right? Yeah. She's not angry. She's just a bitch. She's educated. She's talking to you. She's talking to you like she knows what she's talking about in an aggressive way. She doesn't get labeled as angry. She doesn't get labeled as uneducated and ghetto and all of those things. It's only...
No, because our labels are different.
Yes.
Right. So...
You know, the people who people who commit crimes, they get taken to Burger King to get something to eat.
Exactly.
But you didn't even make it to the station. Mm-hmm. You bleed. You know what I'm saying? Or dead.
Yep.
Yes.
The rule, unfortunately, especially in this nation, the rules do not apply to us.
Yeah, not at all.
There are certain other set of rules that apply to us. Mm-hmm. And it's time out for all that. It really is. Yep. It's time out for all this separatism. You know, when is the outrage going to come for the treatment of fellow citizens of this country? And I use that word on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I am a citizen of this country. Where is your outrage? You know, because they always want to see you as other. No, I'm an American,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to hear nothing else about nothing else. I don't.
Yep, absolutely.
You say go back. You go back first.
I was gonna say it's not like we had a choice.
You go back first.
Like we came you over. When you came over.
Yeah, you came over on a boat too. Mine was in shackles. That's the only difference. We all arrived on a boat. You know, but you these stereotypes. I hate that. I like the show on ABC Off the Boat. It's a great show.
Oh yeah, Fresh Off the Boat. Yes.
Name of the show is racist.
Yes.
Who else was off the boat? Everybody except for Native Americans.
Yep.
Came off a boat.
Yep.
I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of stuff like that. And so,
And we do, like I said earlier, we do have so much to be angry about. And we have every right to express how we feel. But more and more, well, it's changing now, but there's still that narrative that we have to suppress how we feel, and we have to rethink how we're going to say how we feel in order to be heard. But the problem is, when we do that, we're changing so much descriptively in what we're feeling, that when it comes out, it's no longer the same thing. It no longer means the same thing. So when we speak how we feel in a way that makes other people comfortable, they're going to understand it the way it comes out. And the way it comes out is not what we're actually feeling. So how is that helpful?
I mean, here's the thing. You have to decide. You have to fight the battles that's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some things are and some things aren't. Yep. You know, one thing that I love about my mom, the one thing that she taught me that I always appreciated, and still, and I tell people to this day, my mother always told me to count the cost. And when she said count the cost, she meant think this through to the end. Worst case scenario, best case scenario, in the middle. Because in this life, you got to make some decisions.
Right.
Yeah.
They not going to be easy decisions to make. Yeah. Have you counted the cost, or have you just reacted on your emotions? Because reacting on your emotions get you in places that you never even intended to go.
To be, yep, absolutely.
So even in my anger, because I get angry, I mean, I'm a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I count the cost of this fight. Even in that moment of my emotion,
mm-hmm.
is this worth the fight that I'm fighting? If it is, I'm going to say what I need to say.
Right.
But if it isn't, I'm going to be reserved, because it's not worth the battle that I'm going through right now. For me to say how I feel, that it's not worth the end result of whatever this is. And so I think if we would do that more, instead of insisting that I show up how I want to,
mm-hmm.
we can curtail some things that we don't need to go through. And I'm not saying be unauthentic. I'm just saying count the cost. Is it worth this argument that we are having? Is this worth it? If it's not, let it go. If it is, fight your battle. Say what you got to say.
I had to think about what you were saying. I was like, no, she ain't just trying to say just.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I was contemplating. I was like, I know Mm-mm. she ain't trying to say. But I got
everything's not worth a fight. Everything's not
you.
Worth an argument. Everything's not worth me feeling some type of way. Everything is not worth
all of that
for my own mental mind.
Choose your battles
wisely.
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
Then when you go into battle, don't back down.
Stay true to yourself. You just make sure that that's the cause that you want to be fighting for.
Yes, I agree.
So it's not easy. I'm not saying that to say that it's easy every time, especially if you are not the person who doesn't count the cost. You just react on your emotions all the time.
Mm-hmm,
Somebody got to train you to say, okay, is this worth it?
Yep.
Did you stop for just a second and say to yourself, is this worth it? I have saved my husband more arguments. You know what? This is not even worth it. I'm going to just let that go, because it ain't worth it. Does this matter in the long scheme of things? What does this affect? Think it through.
Yep, you know, I agree.
And I'm not saying don't be yourself, don't say what you need to say, all of that. But people who tend to do that just fly off at the mouth. Just say whatever comes to their mind without any reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those fuel on a fire that didn't need any more fuel.
Right.
It was already elevated. And I'm not telling people what to do, because in you got to figure that out, right? You got to figure out what works best for you.
For you, but right?
If absolutely. It's advantageous, to at least count the cost sometimes. Just, you know, is it worth it? If it is, go for it. Go for it, sis. I ain't going to tell nobody.
I'm not even going to lie. There's sometimes I like to be as direct as possible, right? But there's sometimes when you're talking to some people, they can't handle that directness.
Yes.
So if I'm choosing to engage with people who I know take offense to everything, if I choose to engage, I always tell my husband, I'm like, okay, I'm about to talk to so-and-so. Let me get my mental thesaurus ready, because I'm going to be flipping these pages in my mind as I find the right words, you know, to just school her on something. Because some people, they just take offense to everything. And people who take offense to everything, I personally choose not to engage with them often. If I can avoid it, I will, because that's just a lot of headache I don't want. I got enough problems.
Well, because why you want to be walking on eggshells for somebody because I can't be my natural self because you sensitive?
Right.
I don't feel like it.
So when I do, I always say, let me open up my mental thesaurus. Let me get some of these words right, because I need to have this conversation with this person so that they can understand what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
some people are going to misunderstand, and that's, you know,
they misunderstand anyway. Yep. Yep.
You know, that's back on the other person's court. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I can't control your reaction. My husband told me that I have to say what I have to say. I can control how you're going to react to it. I just have to be honest with you, because this is something that's bothering me.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I receive it well, and other times not so much, you know. But at least in my mind, I'm with somebody who's being honest with me, not holding something, and then 2 years later you want to tell, no, you saying what's bothering you now in the moment, and I need to know that so I can make adjustments or say, fuck it. You know, one or the other.
Absolutely.
But
I agree.
I think that, you know, regardless of how other people view or see you as a person, you have to be true to who you are at your nature.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as we get older, I think that becomes easier to do. That's why we call them cranky old people. Because they don't give a, I don't care. How are you going to receive this, young man or young lady? I'm about to tell you what's on my mind.
Yep.
And so we call them cranky old people, but they're really not cranky. They have learned to let those chains of bondage,
mm-hmm.
of other people's perception, other people's feelings, and not that you shouldn't consider other people's feelings, but right. that don't dictate their thought process.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
That doesn't dictate their actions. They just gonna tell it like it is, and either you receive it or you don't, baby.
Ooh, honey, I'm gonna be a mess when I get. At what age does that start and it's acceptable? Because I'm gonna be a mess. What? How?
I think you already there. You already.
I got 1 foot in the door.
You already there. You just need a few more gray hairs. You know, and you on your way.
Because I'm going to be a mess. Ooh, I'm going to be a mess.
But to me, you know, it's funny. I love people like that.
Yeah.
I love people who just shoot straight and say it like it is. And I think it is extremely important, especially if you work in a team environment,
mm-hmm.
that you have somebody on your team who is like that.
Yeah.
Because they say that nobody else in a room wants to say to the manager or whoever's in charge. They just say it. Look, this sucks. You know, this is a terrible idea.
When I used to work in the office, it was me and three other girls, and we had a supervisor who would always come in and throw these last minute things at us, and she just had a knack for ticking us off at the end of the day. And one day she came in and she didn't want anything, but we just had this expectation that she was ready to just ruin our day. So she came in and she said, good morning. And my coworker looked at her. And then I said, what is it that I said something along the lines of, what is it that you want us to do now? And she started laughing. And she was like, she said, Lizette, she thinks that, she was like, I could see it in her face that she's thinking it, but you always say it. Because I can't, it's hard for me to hold in. Like, I don't think why do I have to beat around the bush? Number one, I don't like small talk. So yeah, good morning, how you doing? What do you want?
Yeah.
Don't come, you know, if you want something, just come out and say
I'm
it.
I'm just trying to say good morning, Dave.
I'm like that as well. I don't like when people are trying to either sniff for information.
Yeah, like, away, just say what you want.
Or just want to have, like, be want to give me something or give critical feedback. Just be like, hey, I need to look at this. And they're like, okay, great. Let me pull up whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to it. When you're sitting here, like, good morning, hi. No, why?
Yeah, why you don't up
care.
All
I don't care.
I'm going to tell you one thing that's my pet peeve that will tick me off, and you will know immediately that I'm upset. I hate when people ask me questions that they already know the answer to. Why did you ask me? Why are you, what is the purpose of you asking me if you already know the answer?
Yes. Why?
And I will tell you just that. If they ask me a question and then I tell them the answer and they say, no, it's this, and this. Well, why the hell are you over here bothering me then if you already know the answer?
Natira, you sound angry. You are angry.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't even care. Leave me alone.
Angry.
Why did you ask?
I give you another pet peeve. This was my mom has. So my dad, I don't care what happened. He called, especially like after he retired, he called my mom while she was at work. He'd be like, what are you doing? So what you think I'm going to do? I'm at work.
Well, that was a good discussion. Hopefully that narrative of the angry Black women, hopefully people will start looking more at the individual as a whole instead of just at the way they speak or what they're saying. I mean, what you're saying is important, but sometimes the way people often listen, they listen to respond and not to hear. So I think that also plays a big part. It's not so much that Black women are angry. We just want to be heard. And we don't want you to listen with a response for something you don't even know what we're going to say. We just want to be
heard.
That's
true.
Just want to be heard.
So tell people to listen. Can you listen for just a moment?
Now you're trying to say I don't listen? It's always going to be.
That's exactly what you didn't listen just now. As a matter of fact, you didn't listen. I wanted you to listen. Here you go. That you proved my point. That you don't listen.
They don't listen. I'm not listening. All right, y'all.
All right, lady.
That was awesome.